Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. Welcome to the show. Welcome to December. Hope you're having a good day. And if not, hopefully we can help improve it somewhat. As you've probably heard several times now, we're just starting the program with a component on gardening. I've been pushing forever for people to get rid of their lawns and start growing their food. If you don't have a yard with lawn in it, whether you're growing trees or berries or vegetables, you only have a deck, you can grow stuff on your deck. If you only have a windowsill, you can grow things on your windowsill. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So the first section is, can we do any gardening in the wintertime? Obviously, I'm in the Northern Hemisphere, so we're focusing on that. Sorry to those of you in the Southern Hemisphere. And then we'll do the article on medicine, and then we'll answer some questions. So for the last couple months, like I said, we've been talking about how to prepare your gardens for the springtime. We've talked about the different types of manure, from your green manure, your composting from the kitchen. We've talked about horse and cattle and chicken and rabbit manure. We've talked about how to use the manures. And hopefully it's all organic. And hopefully if you've done some of what we've suggested, if not all, then you will have phenomenal production in the spring. Obviously, the more manures that you use, more composting that you use, the broader the spectrum of microbes that will be in your soil. And the broader the spectrum, the healthier the soil. Those microbes are not only good for metabolizing nutrients, they're good for holding nitrogen in the soils. They're also good for controlling the pests that might be in the soils. They're just good for so many different things. But if we've done all that, now what do we do over winter? Well, you're not allowed to just sit back and do nothing. When it comes to our food, our diet, our health, we want to continue even in these colder months. Again, obviously the more northern or deeper southern areas. We want to grow our food all the way around the year, even with the different seasons. Now, obviously, the closer you get to the equator, the more you lose seasons and you have an ability to grow things easier all year round. But in these more extreme climates, if you want, where we have lots of cold and maybe rain, maybe snow, we need to know what we can grow inside. And there's lots of things that you can grow inside over the winter. And one of the things that can be really, really good about that, if you have family, if you have kids, is to get your kids involved. We talked a lot last week about sprouting, seed sprouting. And it's so simple. Once you get it set up, you wash and you rinse and you wash and you rinse twice a couple times a day. Getting your kids involved, helping them to understand what's in that food and that they're actually growing it. They're part of the process is awesome. Not only helping kids create discipline, i.e. you need to do it every morning and every evening, but also getting them to create charts. Draw diagrams. Color the charts. Identify how fast the seeds need to grow before you can eat them, which ones that they prefer over others, which ones are easier to make than others. You can also make charts on what the nutrients are in those different seeds. And kids are great with online information. Get them to look up the vitamins, the minerals, the omegas, the fibers. You can even get into all the phytonutrients once they're a little bit older. But all these exercises can get the kids involved in their food, get involved in their health, and recognizing how important it is. Doing just the simple things of growing your sprouting seeds over the winter and growing certain things in the windowsills can help prepare them for getting involved in the growing, the harvesting, the preparing of the foods from the garden in the summertime. And obviously, then we can get the pickling, the fermenting, the canning, the freezing, the jams, etc. There's just so much you can do, and the younger you start the kids getting involved in it, the more they understand, the more they participate, the more they engage not only in the gardening itself, but in their health and well-being. Component to it, if you're like me, you might believe that the more their own energies are in that whole process, from germinating the seeds to harvesting the product to whatever you do with the harvest, the more that their energies are involved in it, the more that it's beneficial to their health. Now, I can't prove that. I've never actually looked to see if anybody's tried to prove that in any way, but it's a belief I hold regardless, and I'll share with you. All right. So this week we need to get on to what you can do in your on your windowsills over the cold winter months, and obviously in the opposite for the southern hemispheres. But salad greens are one of the easiest ones you can do. All your different types of leafy greens for your salads, your different types of lettuces. Loose lettuces are even better than other ones. Arugula grows great as well. You can plant them, start seeding them and planting them in the windowsill, or you can bring them up from your gardens and transport them inside. Either way, make sure they have lots of room to spread their roots and to grow, and always take off the older, giving the new growth better option to grow. Other ones besides your lettuces and your arugulas are your Swiss chard. And I always suggest that people get the Swiss chard that has the variety of rainbow colors. The more colors you have, the more phytonutrients you have. So they're great for salads, and they grow easily, and they're full of nutrients. Spinach is another great one. Kale is another great one. I still have kale growing in my garden, crying out loud. We have the cold, white, frosted roofs and gardens every day. Now we have for a few weeks. It's really cold, and yet the kale is just looking beautiful. And, of course, cutting it every day and including it in salads, what have you. But kale can also grow in the summer or inside. And don't forget, if you have a deck, just transport it to your deck. It can stay outside through a lot of cold. And if you want to cut down your kale, remember to leave the roots in. Perennial. Okay, don't throw it out. It will come back when it eventually dies. I expected mine to be dead by now, but it's still going like crazy. Now, one thing that people are not typically aware of, even with gardening, is that you could grow tomatoes inside. Now, they do need a deeper pot, and the best ones to grow are your cherry tomatoes, and they do want a southern window. But cherry tomatoes and even some melons can grow on your windowsill. Now, melons do want to spread out a vine, like a tomato vine, although, as you may know, your especially your indeterminate vines like to grow up. They like to grow quite high, whereas your melons like to grow along the windowsill. So you can even grow those in the winter. Now, like I've said before, I live in Vancouver, BC. So, yes, we do get cold weather in the winter. We get a lot of rain. We do live in a rainforest, which is awesome. But we also get lots of sunshine. So one of the things that I encourage people to grow inside all year round are lemons. The Meyer lemon has been designed It has been worked on, combining it in different ways to create lemons. And the Myron lemon plant will actually give you two major production times, one in the spring and one in the fall. But they can grow all year round, or can produce all year round. Another one is a grapefruit. It's a small grapefruit. It's called the cocktail grapefruit, and I have those in my house as well. You can even grow figs inside in the wintertime. Now, fig tree, you want to keep it small. Fig trees can expand hugely. I'll just go a little aside here. I had a fig tree I planted for Tom. Tom, my partner who crossed over, he loved figs. He actually brought over a fig tree for me one year, way, way back when we were just friends. And it was like 11 feet tall. And he wanted it out of his garden. And so he brought, and he knew that I planted lots of fruit trees. So he brought out, dug this great big massive hole for it because he wanted to continue to get figs. He just didn't want all the droppings in his yard. That was fun. So because of him, we did plant a fig tree. Now, I don't like figs myself, but I planted it for Tom. So I get this fig tree, and it's growing, and it's like 7 feet tall with all the branching just at the very top. Well, I keep all my trees really, really short. So I went into the nursery, showed them a picture. This is not what I want. I want more of a shrub than a tree. What do I do? Well, they said the end of March, cut it off in a given spot, and you won't get any figs on it this year, but you'll end up getting a shrub, and it will be more productive next year. Well, every day I would go by the tree when I was out doing my gardening, saying, okay, Tom, are you looking after your tree? That tree grew so much. Like, it's only 3.5 feet high, and it had, like, 50 figs on it. It's like, oh, okay. Well, everybody laughs. That's definitely Tom's tree, and Tom's looking after it. The point being, however, you can grow a fig tree in your house. You need a large container for it. It does like to have its good roots, rooting systems, but you can grow them inside over the winter. Another one to actually put on your windowsill is strawberries. Strawberries, apparently, I haven't done that, but I know people that have. I don't do it, to be honest. I don't do a lot of this in the winter that I'm telling you to do, because we're away so much of the time. For instance, we're going away for another month again over Christmas. We were just away for a month in October. Because I travel so much, there are some things that I will teach you that I don't do myself, but I know other people that have done them successfully. So I only tell you what I know has been successfully done. The herbs that you can grow in the winter. So now these I do between my hot house and my house, even though I'm gone, they thrive. So know that. You can leave them for periods of time and they still thrive. And that would include oregano, thyme, rosemary, even chives. Chives, again, are, well, they're all perennial. They all keep growing in the winter and come back again in the spring. If you bring them inside, they will continue to grow all year round. Oregano and rosemary, I put in the article, should stay on your deck. Not necessarily. If you have a deck, they do like the cold, and they can grow quite well on your deck, but you can also bring them in on the windowsill. Parsley have long roots, so make sure if you bring your parsley in from the garden, you'll see how long the roots are. If you're growing it on your own, make sure it has a larger container. And you can even just leave it on the floor. Again, it doesn't need a lot of sunlight in the winter months. But you do want to accommodate the roots. I have a huge parsley plant. It's not that it's tall, but it's really thick. It's in a large pot, and it covers the entire pot. Basil, dill, and cilantro can grow, but you do need to be more particular with them. They're not the easiest ones. They do like the southern facing windowsills, and like everything else, make sure you keep them short so that they grow dense. You don't want them long and spraggly. You want them nice and thick and dense. Just as a general plant, aloe vera. Aloe vera is fantastic for a variety of skin conditions. I got rid of all my eczema that I grew up with because of my genetic disorder. I have had eczemas. And at the age of 30, I don't remember whether I came across an article or somebody told me, but for some reason, I started opening up a piece of aloe vera leaf and just scooped out the gel and put it right onto my hands. I did it every night for 30 nights, And I have never had eczema since, so I just love that. Okay, obviously when you bring plants in from the outside, you want to check them for any kind of bugs like aphids. If you do have any kind of bugs, typically the ones that you need to deal with if you bring them inside, there's an easy formula you can get from your kitchen. You don't have to pay for insecticides, pesticides, herbicides that are toxic and what have you. You make this in your kitchen. Get some cayenne pepper and bring it to a boil. You want to boil it for about 15 minutes and then just let it sit in the water overnight. You take that water, you add some liquid dish soap and some garlic juice. So all you need to do for the garlic juice is smash a few cloves of garlic with a wide knife and a hammer. Put the cloves down on the counter, the wide knife on top, and hammer them, smash them. You don't want to cut them, you want to smash them. Cheesecloth, a dust cloth, whatever you want, and put it right into the mix. Make sure that mix is well mixed. Shake it well is what I'm trying to say. And then spray it onto the plants. You want to leave it on the plants, 20 minutes or so, half an hour or so, and then make sure you wash it off. If you don't wash it off, it will stain the plant. So if you have an awful lot of bugs, you may actually want to just leave it on there for a couple of days, and it may stain the leaf, but that's better than having the aphid or whatever it is. So then you just want to wash the plants, just put them under water and wash with your fingertips. You want to water the plants gently over the winter. Now, they do tend to grow slower in the winter, and you don't need to water them as much. So just put your finger in the top of the soil to see how damp they are. You want it to get pretty dry before you water it again. They don't need as much water because they're slow growing and it's over the winter and it's colder. Now, you can buy a monitor that determines the moisture of the soil. You can also buy one that determines the pH of the soil. You can get them that have both on. If you're more into it, you might want to do that. To be honest, I don't use them. I have them. I don't remember even if I bought them or if they were given to me at some point, but I do have them. I just never bother using them. But if you're really into it and you're really, really disciplined, you can use those as well. Okay, the other last thing with this is I always encourage people experiment. Try different things. I'm forever cutting things off just to see if I can root them. You know, if I cut off a piece of root, if I cut off a leaf, if I cut off the floret, can I get it to root? I try different things, and I find things that I've never seen on the internet before that work wonderfully well. I think I told you before, I have tomato plants in my garage with the roots hanging in the top and the leaf structure, the vine structure all hanging down. I've been told that I can re-root those tomatoes in the spring, and those roots will be good. So I'm testing that out. Never done that before. Just read about it this past year. I leave a lot of things in the ground because I put so much cover on in the garden beds. I've told you about the composting, the green composting or green manure, and then the horse, the cattle, the chicken, and the rabbit manure, all of which is organic. So the rooting system has a ton of stuff over it to protect it. So I try different things to see if I can get them to be perennial, even though typically we don't think they are. The more perennial things are, the better, I think. So that is what I'm giving you this time, this week. We all depend on our food. Let's make it part of our family dynamic. Get engaged with it. Your energy is involved in it. Love and appreciate it. Make it work for you. And have a great food production. Okay. Now, what do we do? We have an article. Okay, I wasn't sure what to write about today. So this was an interesting article to write. It's similar, although different, to one I wrote a few weeks ago. And it has to do with all this nonsense about the elections in the U.S. As a researcher, I look at all the mainstream medical stuff. I look at all the alternative stuff, if you want. I look at stuff that's done by pharmaceutical companies. I look at stuff that's not done by pharmaceutical companies. I want to get the pros and cons. I want to get everybody's opinion. I want to know who's paying for what and why and how. Well, it turns out you need to do the same with our media and things like the election. never mind COVID. Well, we know that this election has just been so unbelievable. Well, the whole campaign, the American campaign and the election. Like I said, I was down in Mexico for October, so I got to look at it from a number of different perspectives. Every night we spent 5 hours comparing all the different newscasts and, you know, who said what and why and when. And it really brought forefront that 90% of the media in North America is only owned by six companies, six corporations, and they are very much Democrat and very much biased. They do not provide good journaling. Journalism is like a science that's been lost. It's amazing. One of the better broadcasts, is, more so than anyone else that I could find, was Fox News. Although there's been a few things even on Fox News, you go, what? Hold on a minute. Let's back up here. I do have a list of all the different alternative news, if you want, websites, journals, newspapers, everything that provides worldwide global information, as opposed to the incredibly biased fake news as being called. Actually, both sides are calling the other side fake news right now, which is hilarious. And I thought, well, I will tell you that and help you to see how distorted the information is about COVID being still our predominant issue, which just amazes me. So let's start with it. The mainstream media, we're going to start looking at what was deleted from the news, okay, from mainstream news. Now, Fox was all over this, which I really appreciated. Global Research, Rebel News, Epoch Times, Citizen Free Press. There's a whole, I'm sorry if I've eliminated or not said anyone. There's a whole long list of really good ones that are out there doing true journalism, giving both sides, giving the facts and letting you decide what you believe in, as opposed to deciding what you're allowed to believe. So right off the top, we know that Twitter, Facebook, Google have all been challenged by by some countries repeatedly. Recently by the U.S., that they are deleting huge amounts of information that have an impact not only on your belief systems, whether it be COVID or the elections. So let's look at what they've deleted. The mainstream media failed to cover information from Hunter's laptop. So I'm sure you're all aware of Hunter Biden, Biden's son, the laptop that had all that information about all the programs that he's involved in, the monies he's been paid, why he's been paid, how he's been paid, et cetera, from Russia to Iran. Was it Iran? Wasn't Iran? Hungary. It was Hungary. And China being the most predominant. There were several other countries as well. And then when they actually did acknowledge it, they said it was false information, that it hadn't had any substance to it from a variety of perspectives, despite FBI and Homeland Security saying it was actually factual. I was amazed that the naval officer, Tony Belinsky, amongst a few others, came forward to say that, yes, the information was accurate, that they knew about it from a variety of different perspectives. Fox interviewed Tony Belinsky. I didn't see anybody else interviewing him, and he actually had to go to the FBI and the CIA to ask for interviews. So now we're not only dealing with why isn't the mainstream media all over this. I mean, Trump blinks wrong and the media is all over it, for crying out loud. But now go and get the FBI. Furthermore, the FBI supposedly had the information all back in 2019. And they never even did anything with it. Again, what happened to the FBI? Where are they in all of this? Because there's so much information about the election issues being external, Dominion voting systems and the Dominion system having access, external access to both Iran and to China, the CIA should be involved in it. Where are they? They just fell off the planet. This is huge information, and yet, where is the media on it? The general media, 90% of the media, are negating it, deleting it, eliminating it. Twitter keeps closing accounts on anybody that they don't like. It's like, what the heck happened? And the problem is, if you actually go into the research, you can see how the CCP, the China Communist Party, has infiltrated all these corporations, all the big media. As a sidetrack, you might want to know that the largest ministry in China is the Ministry of Propaganda, and it has gone out throughout the world. It's absolutely amazing. When you start getting into the research on this, it is really scary. If you treasure your freedom, if you treasure your democracy, if you like communism, well, then it's not. I personally prefer my freedom. Okay, so there's another huge issue. The mainstream media acts like Trump is making an issue out of nothing. Like, really? Even the court systems are acting like there's a big nothing going on here. What is the one, I think he was a senator, I can't remember now, let's not say that. Some person of a high political power position a couple weeks ago said Trump should pull up his shorts and act like a man and recognize he was voted out. If we go back 2016, the Democrats spent 4 years knocking Trump and that it was a false election and provoked by or interfered by the Russians and blah, blah, blah. But we have huge number of people acknowledging that the election is fraudulent on so many arenas, from so many different perspectives in so many different ways. And the mainstream media is saying, oh, well, Trump's just making a mountain out of a molehill. Like, really, people? Holy cow. I mean, even when you have the dead apparently able to vote, you have huge numbers of people with the same birth date, 01/01/1900, huge numbers of people with a casino or commercial addresses, failure to link the ballots with the register list. People voting in several different states, ballots with a lot of missing information, postal workers claiming huge irregularities, and of course the Dominion voting systems having so many different irregularities, and not just in the U.S., but in various countries around the world, and for the last, 15 years, the ability to alter data. Let's not forget internet access, which I already said, from Iran and China. The list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And yet, those that are on the Democrat side and the corporations, which are all, in bed with the Democrats, negate this, minimize it, making a mountain out of a molehill. Like, holy cow, how much data do they need to recognize before there's a major problem with the election? Mainstream media minimizes, deletes, and distorts. It's absolutely unbelievable. Do you know that Donald Trump, I didn't know this, I just found this out in October. To be honest, obviously I'm a Canadian. I'm neither Democrat or Republican. My concern is I don't want Canada to go through the same thing that the U.S. And unfortunately, because of Trudeau, we're headed in the same direction. It is really scary from my perspective. But corporations hold 90% of the social media or the media news in North America, whether it's Canada or the U.S. So that is really scary. So I was looking at it because I had all this extra time on my hand for that month in October, and I was really getting into it and going as deep as I could with it. And I, holy cow, it just got scarier and scarier and scarier. But I also found out a whole bunch of stuff I'd never known before that was good. For instance, Trump, who I always thought was just a loose cannon with a big mouth. And he's actually even modified that over the last 4 years. You have to give him credit. He's still a big mouth, and he still has the type of charisma that gets people going, which is great. But he's not the orator. He's not an academic. He's not he can't present the speeches like Pence can, which is really good. For his vice president, but Obama was really good, Clinton was really good, but that doesn't mean they're good guys, apparently. You know, we have to look at what they've actually achieved. And when I started looking at what Trump has achieved, he's been nominated 3 times for the Nobel Peace Prize. Holy cow, where's that all over the news? He's increased both the employment and the standard of living for most of the minority groups. Where is that all over the place? He has the lowest unemployment record for American people before COVID happened. What other president has done that? There is a ton of stuff that he has achieved, which just like totally blew my mind. Holy cow, this guy isn't just a big mouth, that's a loose cannon. I mean, he's that as well. But he's out there doing stuff, and more stuff than any other president has done. But where is that in all the news? It just doesn't make the news. He blinks wrong, and that certainly gets in the news. But what about all the good that he's done? On the other hand, I went through for Biden, and of course, Biden's been in government for 47 years. He was with Obama for 8 years, two sessions, I think. And what has he achieved? Nothing. They call him Sleepy Biden. It sounds like it's a... My point being is that kind of distortion, deletion, manipulation of the news is the same thing that's gone on with COVID. Okay, let's look at COVID. Has the news presented that the 48K scientists and researchers and physicians that have sent in petitions and letters and documentations and studies to the WHO to say, look, lockdowns and wearing masks are more detrimental than beneficial? Where's that all over the news? I haven't seen it. I had to find it. And for me, that's easy. I belong to that group. I know about it. But I don't support the WHO. WHO, I used to. I used to think it was a fantastic science-based organization. For the last 10, 15 years, it's gone more and more to being politically documented and owned, program monies from China. And, of course, Bill Gates controlling what's actually done there. So the fact that it actually came out in September and said masks and lockdowns were more detrimental than beneficial was huge. Like, holy cow. That's unbelievable. But, of course, they're all over the place. Dr. Fauci, I mean, crying out loud, more conflict of information from Fauci than from anybody, although we have our two in Canada as well. I turn off the news or the TV if I hear Dr. Bonnie or Dr. Tam coming on. It's like, for crying out loud, you guys are not telling the truth. You don't put things into perspective. You delete most of the information that is important. Why are they deleting it? Well, they have ulterior agendas. So let's look at some of the things that we need to make. One of the things, just as a side note, don't forget all the different politician centers, whoever, that were laying down the rules for the American Thanksgiving but didn't abide by them themselves. I mean, it's not just the senators and politicians, but even the number of people in news media who are, they're think the camera is now off of them. As soon as the camera is off, they take off their mask. I think that's hilarious. That's been caught so many times. And even in places where it's caught, where I can see it, it's been presented, not a whole lot of people are making a big point about it. It's like, it's hilarious. But it just tells you, it's nonsense. Listen, people, some of the big deletions. How come your social media that's supposed to be giving you the facts, doing journalistic, real journalistic material, nobody's telling you, whether it's the doctors, the politicians, or the journalists, nobody's telling you about what to do to improve your immune system. If we actually have something going around that's detrimental to your immune system, how do we improve our immune system? Right? Let's take the food and the herbs that actually help support your immune system as opposed to the junk food. We've talked many times, even simple things like your garlic and turmeric and diet. Don't forget, turmeric is really important because 80% of the world's turmeric is toxic. So I always suggest people go to Savanti, S-E-W-A-N-T-I. You can go online to Savanti. Their turmeric has gone through three different laboratories to make sure it's clean. And the joke about turmeric is it's anti-everything. We just can't find the uncle. Okay, meaning it's anti-inflammatory, it's antioxidant, it's anti-cancer, it's anti. Don't know where the uncle is. So those three herbs are fantastic for your immune system. Your pre and probiotics, great for your immune system. Get your vitamin C from citrus fruits and red peppers and spinach, fantastic. Remember, oranges don't have a lot of vitamin C because there's no magnesium in the soil, so the oranges no longer make vitamin C, unless you grow your own. Make sure you have lots of antioxidants in your food, like broccoli. If you have immune compromise, that's a different story. In any situation where you are immune compromised, you want to take additional precautions about being infected, being around infected people, washing your hands more often, and keeping your hands away from your face. But if you're an immune healthy person, putting your hands to your face with all the bacteria, all the virus, all the crap that's on our hands as we walk through our day and collect all that in between washing our hands, putting it to your face allows your body to create antigens for that. It's actually a healthy thing to do. But where do you hear that on the news? Right? Now, you know that there's all kinds of supplements that you can take for your immune system. We all have heard, like vitamin C. You want to get that good vitamin C. Real vitamin C, not synthetic. That goes with all your nutritionals, nutraceuticals. You want to make sure they're real and not synthetic. But besides your D3, your transfer factor, another great one that helps the immune system. So vitamin C, vitamin D3, transfer factor, your probiotics, your prebiotics, your healthy foods, your herbs. I mean, we've got all these different things, but nobody's talking about them. What happened to the news? What happened to the journalists? What happened to talking about real health? To me, that is absolutely huge. We all know preventative medicine is better than reactive medicine or synthetic medicine. So why are we being taught that instead of all these numbers that are taken out of context? So let's keep going. Because I think I got more about the numbers later. I can't remember I wrote this article. Okay, what do I have here? They're all well known for distorting the information, not just deleting it or not presenting it, but actually distorting it. Now, one of the things that you can do with distortion, if you want, is all the stuff that came up with the Hunter's laptop information and them distorting it, saying it was the Russians attempting to interview. Poor Russians, they get blamed for a lot in this. I think China is more a concern than Russia. But come on, guys. Even your FBI, when they finally looked at it and interviewed and what have you, said that, no, it was accurate. What has the media done with it? So like with COVID, they tell you the raw numbers about being diagnosed. Oh, we've got so many that are diagnosed with it. Well, shoot, guys. Number one, the coronaviruses and the retroviruses are what cause the flu every year. This has not reached pandemic numbers. This is the same numbers we normally get. Except we probably should have way, way higher numbers because we've got way, way, way more testing. And the testing, using the PCR testing, has been shown repeatedly to have 90% false positives. Why? Because the RNA they're actually testing for, number one, doesn't identify COVID-19. It can be a number of different things. Number two, the way it's magnified, it's actually meant to be used for research, not for medical diagnoses. You can even pick up dead nucleotides as a positive. It doesn't tell you the load, which is really, really important. All these things are missed when they tell you these huge numbers that sound so scary, because you don't know the numbers from every other year. 2017 and 2000 were higher than this year. But have they told you that? No. Why not? They take things out of context because they're trying to scare you. Okay, let's see. What else have I got in here? I get really passionate. In case you didn't notice, I get really intense and passionate about these topics because I hate being lied to. The media is well known for me. Like I keep saying, journalism as a discipline, as an art, has been, as a scientific fact, has been lost for the most part, which is why we have to go to all the alternative news, trying to find real journalists that actually tell you the real story. Okay. So I've got down here, number one, PCR testing was meant for research, not for clinical diagnosis. And actually, if you want to go back to the gentleman who actually identified it and got the Nobel Peace Prize, I've said this several times, I think, his comment was, at best, it's a poor theory. Yeah. 90% false positive rate. PCR testing will even pick up dead nucleotides, okay? If you actually go to Global Research and look up PCR testing, 10 major scientific flaws, you will get a good basic understanding of why the PCR testing should not be used, okay? PCR testing, 10 major flaws. It's under Global Research. That's a really good article to read if you're interested. PCR testing done properly takes a few laboratory days and still does not determine the pathogenic load, that's what I mentioned earlier, which is hugely important. Like, hold on a minute, guys, you're not even doing it right for crying out loud. Consequently, we get all these positives when we should have negatives. Hospitals and physicians are pressured to identify anything as being COVID. And I put in here, I think it was back in May, maybe. And I think it was a Minnesota senator physician who came out. He was the first one I read about. I was pushing for it, but he was the first one I read, a physician that came out and actually said, we're being pushed to admit anybody into a hospital being COVID. And it doesn't matter what they die of, it had to be COVID. And the example he gave was you could be hit by a bus, but you're admitted because of COVID. You died because you were hit by a bus. But on the death certificate, it says with COVID. And with is an important component. With all the numbers, remember back in September, CDC actually came out, I think 150,000 or something, I don't remember the numbers, supposedly died from COVID in the U.S. And CDC came out and said, yeah, well, they were actually looking at it, and it was more like 9,000 died from COVID. Others died with COVID. You could die of a number of different things, but you might have had, because of the PCR testing in particular being 90% false positives, you could have dying with. So they're not differentiating. We've even had people in hospitals tell us that, and I think I've mentioned this one before, that if you come into the hospital and you tested positive, which could have been part of the 90% positive, you will be tested every morning and every night you're in the hospital. And that will be identified as 6 individual cases. Well, you're one person. How come it's 6 individual cases? Should have clarified that. If you're in the hospital for 3 days, you get tested twice a day, that's 6. That's where I came up with the 6. Hold on a minute. You're in the hospital for something entirely different. It could be a false positive, but now we've got 6 more to add to the list. Holy cow. Again, journalism in its real form, the way it was designed to be, would have provided you with the whole context, would have provided you with all the data, but they're not. Just like with the election and all the issues with the election, they're distorting the information, manipulating the information, deleting the information that you should be getting. This is a huge concern. Now, we could go on to the second wave. Well, that was hilarious. If we understand that viruses, whether they're made in China or come from China or come from the U.S. or anywhere else in the world, I would think even if they were, like some of the data suggests, it was SARS back in 2003 that got patented and then they've done research and whatever. Maybe it was. I don't know. I can't prove that one way or the other. But even if it was a manipulated virus from way back 15 years ago or more, it still mutates. They naturally mutate. By June, I think we had 40,000 mutations. You're going to get a vaccination that allows for 40,000 mutations. Again, this is why I say the vaccination from last year, the one for the cold, you don't want to get the cold flu, so you take a vaccination. Well, that's for last year, not for this year, right? How many vaccinations do you want to cover the 40,000 mutations? The second wave. Well, what's the second wave? We've got the flu season coming up again, guys. The flu season will spike more in the more north you go, the more southern you go. It levels off. It doesn't have the spiking, but it still comes up. But it's mutated. It's not the same one that we started with. It's mutated 40,000 times. And that's actually a very good thing in case you didn't know that. You want the viruses to mutate. The more they mutate, actually, the more they'll spread, but the less impact they will have. We already have 8 naturally coronaviruses that live within us naturally, right? So, yeah, they might be more contagious, but they are less impact. They want to be able to utilize our bodies because they have to get into the cell and use all our cell DNA and enzymes and what have you in order to replicate. They want us to be alive. Think about it. As long as we're alive, they can function. And many of them just become naturally coexistent with us, like many other things. Why isn't the media telling us all this? Why are they trying to scare us instead? Who is controlling that? And perhaps an even bigger question, why? So I want you to take the time to look at the different models that come up. Look at the actual research. I've given you a number of different websites over the last several months. I've given you a ton of stuff. But go and look. Don't just take what the media hands you out. Again, I can't emphasize enough. It's distorted, it's manipulated, it's deleted. And it's very, very scary when you start looking at how much the CCP has infiltrated all the big news. And, of course, all the big media. To what extent it's also in the Democrat camp. Why do they need it there? What is going on? You want to keep looking deeper and deeper and deeper. It's hugely important. Okay? Now we're even looking at, of course, which is what we suggested at the beginning, they wanted the vaccinations to be mandatory. Well, they've got all these vaccinations, two predominant ones, Moderna and Pfizer, coming out supposedly by the end of the year. If you're interested in what's in the vaccination, the hydrogel, the luciferase, the GMO, the RNA, you can go back and look at my article I wrote on that a few weeks ago. Hugely important, incredibly important to understand what's going into your body. Okay, so my big thing is, you can't trust the general media. Go further, dig deeper. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I don't care if you come up with entirely opposite opinions than mine. But get the information. The more accurate information you have, the more accurate a decision you can make about what is true and what is not true. Okay? And that, you know, I've used the election, I've used Trump and Biden. I'm sure Trump, well, from what I've seen, he has a very interesting history, and I was never a Trump fan. I can attest to that. And I'm sure with the businesses that he did in New York, there was lots of connection with mafia, who the heck knows what else. The big issue, I would think, is number one, the CCP infiltration, two, the loss of democracy, and three, what are you going to get in the long term? Be very, very attentive to that. Okay. Now let's go look at some questions that some other people have asked us. And thank you again to Nicole for not only having the program, keeping it safe, but also for sending me the questions. Okay, we have Ariel in the UK. It seems the mandatory vaccine agenda is just around the corner for us and many other countries. I'm very much against this, as I don't think they are safe nor warranted. What do we have to do? What do we do if we have to have them? That's a difficult and scary question to answer. There is so much evidence against the vaccinations, against all vaccinations, showing there is no need. There's a ton of information showing there's no need for vaccination. This is just a coronavirus that causes the flu. Get over it, people. Are some people going to be more susceptible to fatalities? Yeah, again, just like with any other flu, 92 to 98% of the fatalities are people over the age of 70 that have two or more pre-existing conditions. We know that. It's the same stats we always get every year. People, wake up. In many countries, you are not allowed to sue the pharmaceutical company if there is a problem with the vaccine, which kind of addresses your issue, Ariel. There's actually 19 countries who have already set out programs in case you have problems with the vaccination. Canada, we don't have one, except for Quebec. I don't know why Quebec always gets preference there, but the question will be, how much will it cost to prove that whatever issue you had came from the vaccination? Now, I know with some of the studies, they had 100% of the people, both those with a low dose and those with a high dose, had systemic issues as a result of the vaccination. All they're purporting out there is whether it's 94.5% or 95% prevent you from the flu. Well, hold on a minute. You don't have a group that didn't get the vaccination as a control group. How come? You're not telling us all the side effects. How come? Again, we look at the news. What's deleted? What's manipulated? What's distorted? Same issue coming up, people. Be aware of that. We're really afraid here in Canada because Trudeau has already organized the military to distribute the vaccination once the vaccine has been okayed by Health Canada. So now we've got people, of course, coming up saying, well, what's the aspect of it? Which, again, dealing with what you're saying, Ariel, what do we have to do to protect ourselves from it? Well, children and pregnant women don't have to take it, but what about the rest of us? They can be out of the country when they come around for it, I can tell you. The problem is they may not make it mandatory. And last I saw, 48% of Canadians don't want the vaccination. Over 50% of the Americans don't want the vaccination. But what happens? What could happen? What's a possibility if you choose to stand up and say, no, I don't want it. I refuse to take it. Well, they're also talking internationally about a passport, a vaccine passport, and that they can, if we get communism kind of ruling occurring, they can prevent you from accessing food, medicine, your finances, travel, etc., if you don't have the passport to show that you've got the vaccination. Of course, this is what we've said right from the beginning. This was really scary, and it was looking like that's what the ulterior agendas were. And yes, that is very, very scary. What can you do to help protect yourself? Well, again, like we talked about earlier, build up your immune system. Make sure that you have a very good immune system. How can we affect? Now, the hydrogel has been explained and has been already patented. All three components have already been patented, 2016, 18, and 19, I think. I can't remember, so don't quote me on that. But those three components have already been patented. The hydrogel is like putting in a bunch of AI robots into your body that can build up and break down and do different things. And I'm still working on what do we do to protect ourselves from that. I don't know at this point. I will let you know as soon as I figure out something that we can do to protect ourselves. It is a huge, huge issue. Okay, we got Linda in Boston. It's already 53. Holy cow. All of a sudden, my joints and my hands started hurting. It is a sharp pain, and some of my knuckles look swollen. How do I fix this? Well, there could be a number of different causes. It can be anything from an arthritic condition. It could be a leaky gut syndrome and some infection or something, even like a yeast or something got into your blood and traveled through your body. A heavy metal toxicity likewise could do the same. It could be something like fibromyalgia. If it's an infection, you can take supplements like transfer factor, D3, zinc, like we've talked about before, along with your pre and probiotics, your garlic, your onion, ginger, turmeric. They can all be an incredible help to your immune system if it's the immune system that's causing the problem. If it's inflammation, of course, you can use omega-3s. And one of the really good omega-3s is avocado oil. Eat an avocado a day. But the avocados have almost the same ratio of omega-3, 6, and 9 that our body has. So that's a great way to deal with if it's just simply inflammatory. You can make a mixture of avocado oil, coconut oil, and put in clove bud oil, just a few drops of clove bud oil. So the avocado oil would be for the inflammation. The coconut oil, the lauric acid in the coconut oil, would be for infection. You could also put neem oil in there, another great antimicrobial. And then the clove bud oil would be for the pain. Rub that on your hands. Or wherever you've got the problem. But, of course, you know, giving you a couple of different possibilities, but we don't know what the issue is that's causing it. Of course, that's what you want to look at in the first place. Can you get it accurately diagnosed? Now, having said that, we have shown studies that have come out about Western medicine that 88% of diagnoses are incomplete or outright wrong. So you want to make sure you've got a number of different opinions with regard to what is actually happening there, okay? just like the media, we can't trust medicine either. And we have talked about that many times. However, I do have a book on inflammation, and I do have a book on the immune system. I have both of those. So if you want to go to drhollybooks.com, go to the first group of books. That's the books that are all on health and written for the layperson, written for the general community. So you can go to those, and they will not only give you all kinds of possibilities and correct diagnoses, things that you can do to resolve the problem. Okay. Having said that, we do have 3, 4, 5 new other questions that Nicole sent, and we don't have time for it. It's 12:56. So what we have to do at this point is simply acknowledge who I am. I'm Dr. Holly. Dr. Holly with Choices Unlimited for Health and Wellness. So the main website is choicesunlimited.ca. From there, you can go to my other websites. You can find other videos, say for depression. I've got a variety of different things that you can access on there. Of course, the 30 books you can access. Oh, by the way, I noticed a new introductory today. Nicole said I had a PhD in herbal medicine. I don't. I have a master's in herbal medicine. So just be aware. I didn't catch anything else yet. I'll have to listen to it better next time. I don't really listen to stuff like that. I just jump in when I'm supposed to. However, all my contact information, over 900 articles are on the website. Everything that you need can be got there. Again, it's choicesunlimited.ca. The books you can download, they're like $4, $5, $7, depending on where you are and what book it is. But they're all cheap and they're all easy to download. So make sure you take advantage of all that information. Again, I encourage everyone, go out and do your own research. Don't depend on the general media. Whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Google, whether it's CBC, NBC, you know, whatever, don't just listen. I mean, you know, listen to it, but make sure that you have the mindset, critical analysis, objective perspective, abstract reasoning. Use your intellect to look at all the alternative sites as well and find out what you want to believe in. Okay? All the very best with all of this. Keep your head above the water. Keep it happy. Keep focused positive, and we'll see you all next week. Make it a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.